Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, verse number 9 and 10. Is it 9? No, number 8. It's number 8. Sorry. Amantriya Chabiyanu Janta. Amantriya Chabiyanu Yata. Parishvajya Vivadyatam. Aru Roha Ratam Kaishchit. Parishvakto Vivaditaha. Afterwards, when the Lord asked permission to depart, and the king gave it, the Lord offered his respects to Maharaj Yudhisthira by bowing down at his feet, and the king embraced him. After this, the Lord, being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, got into his chariot. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the elder cousin of Lord Krishna. And therefore, while departing from him, the Lord bowed down at the king's feet. The king embraced him as a younger brother, although the king knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord takes pleasure when some of his devotees accept him as less important in terms of love. Notice it doesn't say in terms of stature or any other criterion. It's only in terms of love. No one is greater than or equal to the Lord, but he takes pleasure in being treated as younger than his devotees. These are all transcendental pastimes of the Lord. The impersonalist cannot enter into the supernatural rules played by the devotees, supernatural roles played by the devotee of the Lord. Thereafter, Bhima and Arjuna embraced the Lord because they were of the same age. But Nakula and Sahadev bowed down before the Lord because they were younger than he. So, now we see there's a lot of complicated protocols. One is without love and one is with love. The one with love is bewildering. The one without love is understandable. So, that's why it's very difficult for non-devotees to understand Vedic scriptures. Therefore, so many bogus commentators have written commentaries on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and they get it all, use their speculative power to try and understand it, and they get it all wrong all the time. Therefore, we have to only hear Bhagavatam with the commentary by Srila Prabhupada and bona fide Vaishnava Acharyas, and avoid all other commentaries, as well as avoid hearing from people that are not bona fide. Therefore, it says that it is impossible for a non-devotee to understand the actions of a pure devotee. Impossible. They have no way of understanding. Like one time, this French so-called expert in Sanskrit, he couldn't read Sanskrit. He could only read it in its English transliteration or Latin transliteration. However, he was considered an expert. So he came to see Prabhupada, and he was challenging Prabhupada. And later on, when he walked out of the meeting with Prabhupada, he told the devotees that your spiritual master has got it all wrong, all wrong, all wrong. It's not, he doesn't understand Sanskrit. He said, "What? I said, why is that?" He said, "Well, you know, every page in the Bhagavad Gita that is written, it says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. It's not there in the Sanskrit. I don't understand how he's doing that." Well, When we told Prabhupada, Prabhupada chuckled and he said, yes, he has understood what I have done. So, does that mean that he was, the Sanskrit scholar was right? No, he was not right. But it's a fact that every verse in every chapter, Krishna has declared the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is speaking about himself, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is speaking about himself. Obviously, every verse, every chapter, everything's about himself. So this so-called great Sanskrit scholar, he was not so great. That's why Prabhupada agreed to meet such people. After the meeting, everyone understood that, you know, they're not so great, even though they're touted as being great scholars or pundits or incarnations of God or whatever. But they're actually nothing compared to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, that means the Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke. What? He can't even read Sanskrit, right? He only reads the transliteration. And he uses all his speculative power to understand things. So that's why we should never read or hear from such people. Because almost everything they say is going to be wrong. Okay, so then secondly, these relationship between Krishna and his devotees is based on love. It's not based on lust. It's not based on what you would call rigid rules of etiquette and so forth. The rules are based on love. They're not based on somebody's concept of etiquette. Therefore, people are confused when they try to understand who Krishna is. This is called trying to project onto Krishna one's own foibles or one's own limitations. That is the problem when a mundane person tries to understand God without hearing from the acharyas. They will they'll say, oh, he's dancing with girls, I'm also dancing with girls. And he has a peacock feather in his head, I can put a peacock feather in my head. That means that I become God. I dance with girls and have a peacock feather in my head. See, that's the way they calculate. So you cannot speculate or compare yourself or ourselves to Krishna. We have to understand. And in fact, if one does not accept that Krishna has absolute powers that are supernatural and beyond anything human beings can even imagine, one remains an atheist. Because like the frog in the well, they're trying to judge Krishna based on their own limitations. So therefore, as a saying, when you look at God, you think of yourself, and therefore you have no way of measuring the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because you're judging him on the basis of your own limitations. So, what is the point? No one is greater than or equal to the Lord. So, the Lord, however, takes pleasure in being treated as younger than his devotees. Well, yeah, the Lord subordinates himself to Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, and the Lord here seemingly is subordinating himself to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And the Lord seemingly subordinates himself to the gopis and to all his and then Arjuna's ordering Krishna, now you take me into the middle of the battlefield so I can see who is assembled on both sides. So Arjuna is ordering the Lord, and the Lord is accepting, because out of love for his devotee. Okay. Anybody have any questions about this purport? Yes. Yeah, love means there's the lover and the beloved, right? So it is a reciprocation, right? Dadati pratigrinati guyam akyati prichati bhukte bo jayate chaiva sadvida priti lakshanam. So this priti lakshanam, these relationships of love, are the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. Right? What are those relationships? Giving and receiving prasadam, one. And giving and receiving gifts, two. And giving and receiving endearing thoughts about Krishna, three. These are three types of loving relationships that devotees engage in. So this is explained in the Nectar of Instruction. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. There are six kinds of activities: giving charity to the devotees, accepting from the devotees whatever they may offer in return, opening one's mind to the devotees, inquiring from them about the confidential service of the Lord, honoring prasada, or spiritual food given by the devotees, and feeding the devotees with prasada. An experienced devotee explains, and an inexperienced devotee learns from him. This is guyam aikyati prichyati. When a devotee distributes prasada, remnants of food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain our spirit of devotional service, we must accept this prasada as the Lord's grace received through the pure devotees. We should also invite pure devotees to our home, offer them prasada, and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called bhunkte bho jayate chaiva. Even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. For instance, when one businessman wishes to contact another businessman, he arranges a feast in a hotel and over the feast openly expresses what he wishes to do. He then inquires from his business friend how he should act, and sometimes presents are exchanged. Thus, whenever there is a dealing of priti or love in intimate dealings, these six activities are executed. Okay, so. What are the two kinds that you're talking about? Yeah. Well, we see that Sukadeva Goswami was an impersonalist, right? A bona fide impersonalist. But when he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, he decided to leave his mother's womb and go out and preach Bhagavatam. So that means that the Mayavadis cannot understand anything. But the impersonalists who have bona fide gurus, they can. Okay. Any other questions? Does that answer your question? Well, again, it depends if they have a bona fide spiritual master. Because if you don't have a bona fide, if you have one of these, you know, Bunya Brahmins, then he's not going to teach you anything other than just, you know, pay me this money for this puja. But if you have a real guru, then obviously he's going to teach you that, you know, that you should not expect any material benefit from any puja, because it's meant for the pleasure of the Lord. It's not meant for your pleasure. But if you surrender to the Lord, then he will take care of you. You don't have anything to worry about. As long as you only take what's necessary, not beyond what's minimal. if you start eating too much, collecting too much money, engaging in too much sense gratification, at the same time doing pujas, or different types of sacrifices, that's called karma kanda. It's not karma yoga. Karma kanda is doing the Vedic sacrifice for a personal benefit. But karma yoga is doing Vedic prescribed duties to please the Lord. Okay. Any other questions? Well, see, he's not doing it because he's obliged. He's doing it out of love. So, I mean, this is the whole point. People do strange things out of love. Strange in the eyes of people who don't have love. It's not strange what they're doing. It's understandable. But it's strange for people who don't have love. And what will the people who don't have love think when they see something like this? This proves that he's not God. He's bowing down to Yudhisthira. That means Yudhisthira must be God. You see my point? They don't understand. Love is not a rational thing. You know, you can't rationalize love. Why? Because strange things happen when someone is in love, right? Like Jesus Christ is in love with his father, Krishna. So he's accepting to be crucified eternally for the sins of others. Now, can you understand? Would you be willing to be crucified forever? Yeah, so we don't have that much love for Krishna, right? Yeah. Anyway, you see, people think love means sex. So what can they understand? They're not going to understand anything. No. But when you begin to understand this, you see, you know, how wonderful Krishna is. Such a wonderful person. Most wonderful person. Okay, so we'll stop right there. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.